Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Give you a warm welcome to today's show. I'm your host, of course, Faith, and our co-host Shai will be joining us soon. But today we have a special guest, Idel Monplaisir, also known as Plobron. Plobron is such a beautiful person, y'all. You have no idea. You really have no idea who you're hanging out with today, but you are hanging out with Plobron. Who is Plobron? She's a philanthropist. She's a pantheist, rooted from the French Antilles. She's reared in New York, and as she likes to say, she's about that life. Absolutely. Welcome, welcome, everybody. We're hanging out live, yes, so we're looking forward to taking your calls. Remember, if you want to join in, push 1 on your keypad, and that's my cue that, you know, you want to say something. And I will do my best to open the chat. It's been giving me some trouble, but I'll try my best. Okay, everybody. Plobron, welcome, welcome, welcome. I think she's here with us. Hold on, everybody. Hey, Plobron.
Hey, sister.
Hey, Plobron. I played that song for you because I know how much you love that song.
I do. I was so excited when I heard it. I was like, oh, my gosh. That's my song. Thank you.
I know.
That was a perfect introduction.
I know. I absolutely love this song, but I knew about this song from you, from actually one of your shows on YouTube. You're just so cool, really, Plobron. You are super cool. We're so honored. Really, we're so honored that you're on our show, hanging out with us. Shaz is here. Welcome, Shaz.
Hey, Shaz.
Hey, welcome. Hey. Hi, welcome.
Steve, I also am live. I have you guys live on YouTube, too, so we'll have a whole family joining us.
Oh, so we don't get to see you eating mangoes? Let me tell you, Plobron, do not change anything. Everything you do is just natural. We feel like we're hanging out with you on the other side of your room, on, you know, on like a cushion, and also eating some pineapple. Seriously, it's so beautiful. And you know what? I have to share this with you, like, because you have something to do with this. So I'm going to share this with everybody now that I'm on YouTube as well, right? So I'm going to give you guys a tip. Plobron has something to do with this. If you're ever having a discussion that you don't want to, you know, like, you know, those, you've reached the point where you have to agree to disagree, all you have to say is, I'm a woman of a certain age. And
is worth what?
That is literally accomplished. That'll get you out of a lot.
I'm telling you.
You can dodge bullets,
it though. Works. Wonders across all ages. You don't want to go get that drink from the fridge and, you know, your nephews, your nieces, and your young ones are like, come on, just go get it. You're like, look, I'm a woman of a certain age. It just shuts them up. They're just like, okay, whatever.
It's the perfect crutch, get out. Anything you want to utilize it for, it will help you and assist you. It should be like
seriously,
a verbal ghost.
Yep. You don't know how to change your password. You know, the IT guy is like pissed off with you. Like, look, I'm a woman of a certain age. They're like, okay, whatever. It works. So you know what? That's my line. Yes. And I share it with everybody. Some are picking up that as well. It works. It diffuses any hot air, any temperatures, anything. It works. Anyway, Florbone, welcome. What did you say?
Oh, no, I agreed with you, totally.
Yeah. So, Florbone, I've been watching your videos, and I'm just like, no, we have to get into this blur type because we want to know what's cooking because we don't
like,
know.
Like, we
want to
know what's
amazing. Really, because it's like, you know, our blood is our essence, and yet, you know, that should be the first thing that we're taught as children, like, this is your blood type. You know, it could
absolutely
mean it's your personality. You know, I mean, we really need to know it. It's like, it's, you know, we should start from the basics. And when you talk
absolutely
about it, it's kind of different from what they just put in the books. It's like, oh, you know, you can donate this blood to this person. But we want to know more than just donating blood and who can give you blood and who can get blood. I think there is more to that. Yeah. So just go
for it. It has more credence than people give it more, you know, credence than people give it credit for. You know, what it is that, like I said, I'm a woman of a certain age, and on my parents, on their marriage certificate, it was required at a time before you got married, prior to getting married, you were required to have a blood test to validate what type you were. And it was, that was voted to make sure that couples would get together that were genetically in sync, as opposed to have any adversities with getting with someone who would not be able to either hold a child to, you know, coming to fruition, or anything else that might show up based on having a different, when I say adverse blood type, I'm saying like maybe a negative root as opposed to a positive root. And it's very important for us to do that. Now, blood also have to do with personalities and disposition. It's very, very notable. That's why the Japanese make it a requirement to, in most companies, they make it a requirement to disclose your blood type. They've actually put this down to a science. And,
wow,
you know, in the East community, as you know, I'm a contactee, we discuss blood types as perhaps being more prone to being in contact with certain beings as opposed to not. And it does have a relevancy as far as which beings would have contact with specific bloodlines as opposed to others.
Wow. Should we start right from A? The pros and cons? We start right from the basics. We're like 101 people here, okay? So we have to start from A minus and work our way up to the O's. Alphabetical order here. So
I mean,
tell us, what are the pros and the cons of an A minus, an A plus, and also maybe the contactee part, like who would be more prone to this or that?
Any blood type. I don't want to, excuse me, I don't want to give anyone more you know, credibility based on their blood types. I can tell you the differences and how maybe one has maybe more of an advantage of having a certain nutritional background. Also, maybe their connection to beings that are otherworldly or galactic beings. So let's start off with A. A negative. So, rather than that, let's kick it off with the negative roots, because that is probably the most discussed blood type as far as the disposition of the blood type, which is negative roots, whether it be A negative, AB negative, or O. Those are general consensus of the three major blood types in that particular roots, and with the opposition roots, which is plus. So with the negative roots, we start with A. A is generally, from my own background and my own research, and I always have to say my own because what others study and what clinical studies will have may be in alignment with what I discuss, and some may not. because I'm going to take my own take. I have my own perspective on what I see and what I research. So with A negative, generally you will see that northern or eastern Europe. I'll see more so people from Germany, Russia, Bulgaria, the Netherlands, generally holding that route, and negative being one of the primary. That generally makes you more predisposition to having a more linear way of looking at things, to my knowledge. It just makes you look at things from a more straight and narrow, meaning that whenever you have somebody with A, whether it's negative or positive, but negatives tend to be more clinically based, meaning that those with negative roots I find have more clinical types of minds, meaning that they're more they're less likely to be emotionally attached to information as opposed to those from positive roots, whether they're AB or O's. They tend to be a little more objective as opposed to being subjective in their behavioral patterns. Also with food types, generally starches don't bother A's as much as they might bother somebody from an O. And that goes along the roots of whether it's positive or negative, to my knowledge. Also with A's, generally negative roots has connections to the galactic, what we consider to be, I love that Max Spirit calls it off-world blood. Negative roots is considered off-world blood. But generally amongst the O's would be heirlooms. Anything that's A, B, or A is a subsidiary of the hub, which is the O's. That's why you always hear me call people who have O, OGs. Those are the OGs of the blood groups, meaning that they are the hub. They are the heirloom seeds. And all the other blood types that fall below, not lesser, but below that hub are subsidiaries of that particular O. So generally with A's or AB's, you will see qualities that you may see in A's. A's have to be careful because they'll have, if you mate two A's together, they may have some degenerative qualities in their genetics that might make them more prone to things like lupus. There's other types of what we consider to be, alternate genealogy that does not work out well in the A's and AB based on the fact that those are subsidiaries, again, of the O's, of the heirlooms, which are O's. So generally, A should be very careful in mating with another A. It's better for them to mate with an A. But if they do, they have to watch that their gene pool is not so close that they start seeing degenerative qualities, certain abnormalities that show up because their blood type is very, very sensitive and it's very, very limited as far as what they can pull. Whereas if you mate an A mates with an O, they have way more credibility in the gene pool that they can pull from. That's why you had in Israel, big up to our Israeli family, who are from, especially in Tel Aviv, very seclusive blood type, a lot of negatives in their roots and A's, they pulled in the gene pool of those heirlooms that are actually from Ethiopia and around Yemen, pulled that gene pool by expediting those Jewish people, the original Hebrews from Yemen and Ethiopia. They pulled them over to Tel Aviv, which are mostly Eastern European genealogy, and it's a better gene pool to pull from those who have heirloom blood so that you get less of the recessive or alternative type of breakdowns in blood system or diseases and virus, things that are more prone for having too close a gene pool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the bees? Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, bees are interesting. I have a judgment with bees. So I'll talk about the things with bees.
Just go for it. You know, we say everybody just eat the meat and throw away the bones, okay? And if you're not happy with it, do your own research, okay? And then share it with us because we want Lurban to share her research, okay? And feel free to share yours and let us know. We want to learn from you as well. Lurban, just go for it. No filter. Go for it.
I'm always open to open dialogue based on this. Remember, even in my research, I have my own set of the way that I see things is going to be skewed based on my own experiences and based on the field work that I might have been privy to previously. So everything that I come together is just my own perspective, and I'm always open to hearing other people's opinions on what they feel about specific, specific, especially when it comes to blood types. Anyway, so with bees are very unique. Bees have the way that their brain works a lot for them to be incepted by outside ideology, and their brains, for some reason, has a unique way of compartmentalizing information so that it can be stored without the host actually having acknowledgement of it. We call that MK Ultra, but some people from other blood types don't have as much susceptibility to MK Ultra, but the bees are unique. It doesn't make them negative, it makes them special. But the government and many of the MyLab programs have found out, particularly with bees, that bees are unique in that they have the ability to take in the information and break it into little compartments so that the other part of the brain doesn't necessarily know that that information's there, and it will leave it alone as if it doesn't exist. And it will be able to be retrieved with either a visual geometric shape or with a cue of a sound or a tone or a color. Now, this has to do – now, I believe that they had gotten this research via the Nazi camps that the Germans were conducting a lot of experiments, especially psychologically, physically, and I believe during that process, during the Nazi camp era in the 40s, late 30s and 40s, I personally think that during that particular time and later on, because remember the Nazis, many of the Nazi scientists were, taken to the Americas and actually they were taken into the Americas for their particular edgy research, and they were given jobs here in the States. And I personally think that they were the ones who actually had fell upon that research and that intel about bees, particularly bees. And I just think because the Ashkenazi Jews, those are the ones that mostly were in the concentration camps at the time in the Netherlands and also in Germany, they had a peculiar blood type. And I, to my knowledge, someone can, I want to make sure I'm very careful with this. To my knowledge, the majority of a lot of Ashkenazi Jews have A negative and also B negative, to my knowledge. If anyone knows any difference, please
let me know. So it's mostly the B negative? Is it mostly the B negative? Or?
No, it's just B's in
or
general.
B. Okay.
B. Mm-hmm. Okay. It just so happens that the blood type that was the majority of a lot of Ashkenazi Jews at that time were B negative. But later on, as they did field work, we found out that the programs that they were working with, particularly the B type, didn't matter whether it was negative or positive. It still had the brain of those from bees had a very unique, and I want to call it unique. It's not negative. It makes them special, but they're being utilized for something negative sometimes, especially if they're utilized for some sort of, programming, and they're easily to be programmed. That's all that is. It makes them more susceptible to that. And Max Spears, rest in peace, Max Spears, he had phenomenal intel on that. So if anybody wants to look up Max Spears, he talks about the bees, why the government made that a special – people with bees were special and unique in that they were able to be utilized to be programmed easier than most. And that is also why they will perpetuate bees in certain societies. And also why I think they don't disclose blood types is that they want people to mix and match without you purposefully knowing your blood type, so that you would give birth to more children that were more susceptible to mind control. That's just my personal opinion.
Okay, let's go to the ABs.
Okay.
There's some good stuff.
ABs are beautiful. ABs are actually able to mate with everyone. they're very unique in that they can have liaisons and create children with every blood type. They can mix and match as long as they stay along their roots as far as negative and positive. But ABs are generally, and I generally tend to see ABs amongst some Cherokee groups, Creek groups. Some of the indigenous bloodlines have a lot of that AB. and B. So you will see that obscure blood type sometimes amongst many of the different tribes in the Americas, especially it says I just think in Americas, especially in North America, to my knowledge. So you'll see a lot of the A and B's. I don't have to say about them other than their neutrality. They have they hold neutrality based in the fact that they can mate with everyone and they can take blood.
And it doesn't matter that they take, like, it just looks like this is from just, you know, a child's mind. You know, you take a bit of the A and a bit of the B. Are they also able to be programmed like the B's, or, you know, the qualities of the A's put together?
Everybody has a susceptibility to a certain degree of programmability, but there are beings based on their genetics and based on how their brain actually, their synapses work, allows for them to be much more easily incepted opposed to others. Just like those with a high amount of melanin content are harder to incept genetically than those who lack a certain concentration of melanin. That's just scientific fact.
And that would work across all blood types,
all blood types.
And O.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. So you see B's, something good out there. Okay. And
no,
then
B's
let's
are
go
fine.
To the O.
No.
What's that?
No. I said B's are fine. It's not a discriminatory. When I talk about B's, it's a very unique quality that they had. It's really not negative. It's only negative when negative people utilize them for dastardly deeds. That's the only time it's negative. Other than that,
I think so too, because when you were talking, I was just thinking, if you can compartmentalize your brain, you can actually also compartmentalize your brain to delete the useless stuff. You know, you can just get rid of all that garbage that you picked along the way, you know, that is not serving you any purpose. So it depends how you use your qualities or your talents or your gift. So I didn't see anything negative with that because, you know, if there's something that serves you no more purpose, compartmentalize that brain and just put it aside. You have that ability, and it's quite strong. That's just how I saw it when you were talking. Go for it.
It actually helps them to deal with trauma a lot better, and that's what you were stating as well. It really helps with trauma. If a child's been traumatized, they have a better way of detaching from the trauma and being able to live more cohesively, not knowing that trauma existed. So it could be,
exactly.
You know, that's why I say it's unique. It could be masterful in certain ways.
Masterful. Yeah. If any of you have studied trauma, there are different ways you can deal with trauma. There's deletion, distortion, defragmentation. And if you have this quality, deletion is one of the, you know, quickest way to, you know, to overcome the trauma. If you have the ability, you can just go through it. Move on like nothing happened. Let's go to the O's.
Oh,
O negative.
Oh,
yeah, the O's. Let's go to these ones.
The OGs are the heirlooms. That is hub of a blood type, the other blood types. O's have a very strong regenerative quality. Generally, O's do not age as easily. O negatives have been linked to having off-world blood, which makes them connected to many of the galactic families. Now, not all O negatives are the same. People were saying that negative roots cannot be replicated or cloned. That is totally untrue. Actually, O negative, there are O negatives that are heirlooms, and there are O negatives that are fielded from the originals, meaning that they're directly a carbon copy. So what you'll see amongst O negatives, you will see beings that are connected to the galactic. You will also see beings that are also cloned, and you will also see beings that are mixed with some of the more obscure ETs, like Insectilians, some of the Dracos, some other groups that are connected to the Galactics as well, and also connected to a specific side and sect of the Anunnaki, not the Naga Serpent line, which is O-positive, but the other side of the Anunnaki tends to have a little bit of that field of the negative root. O's,
all right.
Also,
mm-hmm.
Also have a direct, because they're not mixed as much, they're heirloom seeds, meaning that their bloodline has not been watered down And for that reason, they have direct contact, a direct line to the Akashic record. It makes it easier for them to have retrieval of information soul-wise from the Akashic records as opposed to the other bloodline. Not saying the others can't, it just is a less murky road, meaning it's quicker for them to retrieve information from the Akashic records. The others can, but because their genetics has been changed and altered a bit, they don't have a direct line. It's like going on a train, and you know how one has a direct, it's like, oh, okay, express to, let's say I'm upstate New York, express to Grand Central Station. O's have an express line, and maybe A, B's, and A's have to stop at other lines or change trains to get to that, you know, to get to Grand Central Station. They don't have a direct line.
Okay. And Shaz, you want to jump in right here? Because I know when you mentioned the galactic beams, and Shaz was probably going like, no, that's where I jump in. I don't want to speak on your behalf, but just dive right in.
I mean, like, do you mean like UFOs or, because to be honest with you, this is just like all this with A and B's and, you know, O's and, you know, it's a little bit confusing for me. And I
okay.
need to know, like, what is my blood type? So I have a, like, a little, you know, project to do, I guess, after
good,
this.
Good.
Yeah. But I, like, in the beginning on the show that you were actually mentioning, like, you know, people go ahead and then take their blood types, you know, like if you have to go ahead and then get married. Remember actually that I did that at the time that I was going to get married. So, you know, it's something that we still do. Like, I mean, I guess people does that because like in our culture, it was also like, okay, if, you know, if you're going to, in the future get children or, you know, you need to see, I mean, like his blood type and my blood type, if they could, you know, fit, you know. So, I don't know.
It's essential. It's essential.
Because,
and it's
like,
not
I'm from Middle East, and then you were mentioning, like, Yemen and so on. They have, like, an A blood type in that area, or was it B?
No. In Yemen, generally, to my knowledge, you're getting a lot more O's. O's.
Okay.
In Tel Aviv, in actually Israel, you have the Ashkenazi Jews, which are Eastern European Jews, that hold more of the A's and the B's and negative roots generally. And because it's not as much, there's not as much information in the gene pool, they had, you know, what they considered to be, they had a mass exodus from, you know, Eastern African Jews to Israel. And what no one exactly was, they needed more of a genetic pool because the pool that they were having was causing birth abnormalities, babies that were born with some sort of, deformity based on the fact that the genetic pool was so limited. So the fact of the matter is they wanted Jews, but they wanted Jews from a particular bloodline. And generally, to my knowledge, those from Ethiopia and Yemen hold the heirloom OG content that would allow for a wider spectrum of the gene pool to be wider so that when they mated with the Eastern European Jews, the babies would be healthier. That's all.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's kind of interesting, though. I mean, the whole thing with this, blood type, because I think, like, in everyday life, you don't really think about that. You don't really think about people's blood type or, you know, how they're connected or how you can actually be connected with, yeah, exactly. I mean, how you can be connected to your friend or to your, you know, I mean, you never know.
Absolutely. I always encourage our C-stars and Sun-stars, especially before having a sexual liaison, if you're O and you're having sex with a B or an AB, the AB and the A's will feed, meaning they will naturally pull from the energy from the O naturally. It's not something vampire. It's not something they're doing purposefully. So I always encourage people, if you're mating, to mate amongst your roots and mate amongst your blood type, based on the fact that you have to be careful. Like, I will tell an O to make sure you're mating with another O. You can tell, even when I feel that information, you know, I'm a little seedy and I'm Creole, so sex is not something that I will I run from in conversation. But even when I hear some of my OGs that have sex with Bs and As, they say that they feel tired and lethargic, and it went along the line of my research, what I found out. Now, an O would not benefit from being with a B or AB, but an AB and AB would benefit from being with an O. So it's all relative. But you should always inquire prior to sexuality, because people feed naturally. We're naturally vampiric by nature. Everybody feeds off of energy. People, generally, you want to make sure that you have a good ebb and flow, meaning that you're not just giving energy, but you're also being fed off the energy. In sexual exchange, you should have an ebb and flow. You should not have beings that are with you that are feeding off of your energetic field that are depleting you, and then eventually you'll be susceptible to viruses and other ailments based on the fact that you are being depreciated every time you're engaging with someone of a different blood type. That's fact.
Okay. Well, I guess that we learned from you today.
I'm sorry.
No, but I mean, it's okay because, you know, I mean, because, like, seriously, yeah, this is not something yet that you think about. So, but
no, Flarbrun, I have a question. Sorry, Shaz. I'm just thinking out here, I don't think that everyone is picking their partner based on the blood type. So, you know, Jack meets Jane, they fall in love, quote unquote, they like each other, they're living together, and then they listen to our show and they're like, oops, I gotta look into this, and then they realize they're from different blood types.
And now I was so tired. No wonder I was so drained and start finding answers. What do they do now? Can they work on the relationship?
No, I think rely on sometimes is biochemistry. I think a lot of times people actually do pick amongst their genetic types based on their pharmonic harmonics. I think you've heard me talk about that. Generally, you'll see O's, even when I've, you know, I'm a dancer, and I've discussed this publicly. When I've gone, I used to partake in this wonderful class with other C-stars of all different facets, European, Africano, Middle Eastern, whatever. We danced together. So I remember I used to always go to this dance group where there was a group of girls that always hung out with one another. And it was a discussion one time. I'd like to share this because I think people, we should give more credence to our natural biochemistry that we naturally do, whether it's innate. So we don't even know that we're doing it, but we tend to do this. So, you know, it was a group of girls, maybe five or six of them. I don't remember. It's like five or six of them. They always danced together, really cool. I wasn't part of the group. I just, you know, hello, how are you doing? And listen to talk every once in a while. But they always hung out together. So one conversation, you know, I'm all into blood type. So somebody brought up something about their blood type and someone being sick. And the other girls in the group, that particular group that hung out with each other every day, they saved spots for each other, they liked each other, they hung out, their children hung out. One of the girls said, oh, wow, I'm that too. So she said she was a negative Ruth. The other girl said she was a negative Ruth. The other girl said she was a negative Ruth. And then come to find out that group of women who did not ask each other what their blood type were, they did not inquire that before they decided to hang out or like each other or include them each other in each other's families. They found out that each woman in that group was an O negative. It's very unique, but I saw it play out. And what that is we have natural biochemistry. And innately, the only thing I will say will alter this is if you're wearing a lot of body sprays and a lot of these artificial pheromones that are from other people, other races, and other animals and insects. It's the only time that will mess with your pheromonic harmonics. But generally people will feel the vibration of their gene pool and they'll be more propelled. They'll have more susceptibility to wanting to be around people of generally the same root, falling more along the line of negative and positive, more of that, not so much O's or ABs. A B positive will enjoy being around an O positive. O positive will enjoy the company of another AB positive. It just falls, usually, the harmonics falls amongst the positive and negative roots. I've noticed this.
I agree. Yeah, I've noticed that as well. Yeah. Yeah, it just happens, because even when now I was listening to some of your shows and I was like asking people I know, it was just what you're saying. It just happens, and we've known each other over years, and yeah,
absolutely.
It just happens that that is the way it is. I totally get you. Shaz, I know you want to ask Florence some questions. We don't have much time on the show. I think you just throw it in, because I didn't finish telling you all about Florburn's profile, but she's a steward to Mother Gaia, and she's incarnated as an elemental. She's also a contactee, and you know what? She gives us all that cool stuff about the cosmos and this beautiful universe of ours that we might not know about. And so, Shaz, you know, go for it.
I mean, like, do you think there's UFOs, like, around us?
Do I think?
I'm sorry. Or do you think, or do you know, yeah, definitely 100% that there is. Because I maybe saw something like a while ago, but I'm not sure. But I told my dear friend, and I was like, maybe at the time I was sick, it was just something I saw in the shadow outside in my backyard. But I wasn't sure, but I was damn afraid of it, and I just ran into my bedroom.
Lurban, she really is like, downplaying this. She's so some really interesting stuff.
Well, that's okay.
We can't tell our beautiful family and friends this stuff, you know what I mean? So I told her you can definitely ask
because
Lurban.
Nobody believes you. Because there has been, like, when you read about this UFO, the aliens, like, you know, I mean, it's kind of crazy. But, you know, sometimes it's just like, yeah, nobody has, you know, has seen, or, you know, when you see the interviews and so on, they're like, I mean, you know, that's what, you know, I mean, what you hear, it's like nobody knows for sure if, you know, if they're actually... It's something, you know,
Florburn, just
that
go
they
for
exist.
It
or, but I think
that
you should
it was
just
the
go
soup.
Ahead.
Shaz thought it was the soup, and I told her we'll ask the contactee, you know. That
well,
was
I thought
soup.
It was a Pluto, yeah. You know,
well,
sometimes you could hallucinate or, you know, but.
I was asked a question to say and to really, if we are existing as we are with so many vast type of looking beings mm-hmm. on one planet, Could we make the assumption that we would be the only beings on one planet in a multiverse existing without consciousness, without higher field technology? I would always say if we exist in this way, we can at least acknowledge that there may be beings to our level of intelligence, or perhaps something that supersedes us and something that may be a little beneath us. That being said, the government has taken a plethora of information regarding UFOs and ETs for at least the last 60 years that we know of. Many of this intel has already been released, mostly in Europe and, of course, in Asia. It is a fact that we do have what you would consider to be UFOs. UFOs is just a fancy word of saying unidentified flying objects, which could be anything. Anything that can't be observed as something that's recognizable. Mm-hmm. That being said, we have plenty of intel, especially when I believe it was Britain that brought out released their X-Files, of the massive amount of documentation of UFOs and also crashed UFO sites where they had confiscated and taken and reverse engineered actual technology that was not known to have origin to this planet itself. The metals, the components of what the crafts were made of were not of any origin, any mineral origin, no metal origin that came from this particular planet. That being said, we don't have to guess if there was UFOs. We know that there were UFOs here. Many people nowadays with cell phones, all types of phones, as opposed to years ago where you'd have to grab a camera, run into the house, grab a camera. If if you were living in the times when you had cameras themselves. Now people are taking tons of footage of all types of UFOs, whether they're cigar-shaped, whether they're the basic cylinder ships, whether they're light-looking beaming ships, ships that look like stars, rainbow ships, plethora of intel. So I really don't really even have to prove that by saying it. The proof is in the pudding. So if one wants to find out if there's UFOs, there is a plethora of information that is just based out of Google. And then if you take the intel of federal files that were released, especially in Europe and in I think Britain did theirs maybe 4 or 5 years ago, of the X-Files, they released their X-Files. The USA has also released, NASA has also released some files that are public. There have been UFO visitations here way before we were even consciously aware that they existed, and they will exist after we are no longer conscious of whether they exist or not. They are here. They will be here. They preceded us. Probably they've been here longer than any time that we could probably even recollect or document. You can see their remnants on the Sumerian tablets. You can see their remnants in ancient Kemet. You can see their remnants along the lines of some of the scripts that you'll see in some of Eastern India. You will see many of the still, you know, many of the native groups, native indigenous Africans have information, including the Nomos, who had intel on their lineage from Sirius A, I believe, or Sirius B. They actually knew the constellations before we were able to accurately locate these constellations. They had intel
the Dagon tribe.
Yes, the Dagon tribe, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And for that reason, we no longer, you know, so yes, UFOs exist. Now, UFOs are not just UFOs. They're not just ships flying themselves. The question is, who are the beings who have that type of technology that are flying those craft? And where are they coming from?
Yeah. And Shaz, I think we have like a minute or two left on the show, so we have to let Lerbo, you know, give us some parting words. But I hope when you will come back to our show, because as you can tell, we just started a whole new topic with a whole new load of questions. But I'm just going to say my piece before I let you take it away, Clairbone. But thank you so much for coming on our show. I have had so much fun. We have had so much fun. Our listeners, I know, will just absolutely listen to this show over and over and over again. And we you know, we love you over here in Scandinavia, in Denmark. Much love from Denmark and Kenya and Africa and Uganda and Switzerland, Belgium. We love you, absolutely. Thank you so much. Everybody, you know, this is the coolest, one of the coolest contactees, you know, we've ever had, we've ever met. And we thank you so much. You are just so cool. And you make, you know, all this stuff look so cool and so easy breezy. And
next time you come back and
going.
Tell us about UFOs.
Definitely.
Okay, Clairbone, any last words?
I'm just grateful that you had me on your show. You're such lovely sea stars, and it's so nice to just sit down and have a chat with others that are like-minded. And I've heard a lot of your shows. You're doing a wonderful job, just really showing and illuminating things that need to be discussed publicly, including this information from a contactee of color. So I'm really grateful that you decided to take a chance and have me on your show. So I appreciate it.
And I really hope you'll come back, because it's so amazing. And, you know, we absolutely love when you do those videos where you're exposing the hidden agendas. I'm like, yes, yes, another video. They're so cool. And, yeah, we absolutely love and appreciate you. Thank you so much. And pass our regards to your beautiful babies, who you talk about all the time with so much passion. And we don't get to tell them that they have the coolest mom. So thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shaz. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, I'm so sorry
the chat
misbehaved.
It's beyond me. Everybody, go on and change the world for the good.
I'll be good.
Thank you, everybody.